You're listening to The Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and it's time now for our feature interview. And it's with great pleasure Matt and I introduce to the program the current coach of the Indian Eves, Sean Marania. Greetings, Sean.
Good morning, good afternoon. In Holland, it's good morning.
Yeah, we've got a sunny afternoon here in Perth. It's beautiful. I hope you've got a sunny day where you are.
I'm really lucky in Holland on this moment. I have a break from India, so I'm with the family now and enjoying a really good weather.
Sean, at the moment, you are one of the most high-profile coaches in world hockey, but I don't think a lot of people know much about your hockey journey to get there. How did it start for you? Where did you first pick up a stick?
Yeah, I think I was 8 years old that I started playing hockey myself. But besides that, I was always focusing on tennis. That was my main sport. But it's a really individual sport. So my parents, it was really important for them that I also did a team sport. And I'm still, till the day to, from today, I'm really thankful for that. Because it's, for me, a sport where you meet friends, where you do things together. And after all, I like that more than tennis, because you have to be really, really selfish to get to the top. I played myself till I was 16, both sports, and then I focused more on hockey. I played for the first team from Den Bosch, and we played highest league in Holland. And I played with big players like Mark Lammers, like Jeroen Delmay, Ronald Janssen, Pieter Geres, and yeah, those guys really helped me to understand the game better and better. And I'm really thankful for that, of course. And after that, I start coaching.
So just taking you back to you at 8 years old, Sjord, was there a family connection that got you into hockey?
No, because my father put me on ice hockey, but the boys were so big. They crushed me, so he said, now maybe we try something else. And I could choose between soccer and hockey. But I want to go to soccer, but I can't remember that he ever took me to a soccer training. There was a hockey training, and I stick to hockey.
Now, Den Bosch is a big club in Holland. What do junior programs look like back in the 80s, 90s when you were playing junior hockey there?
Yeah, it was not like it's the way it is now. We trained twice a week, sometimes only one times a week. Of course, there was a lot of grass, so I started hockey when there was more artificial grass. But yeah, the big step for me were when I came in the first teams. Then I was more interested in the hockey, and you always have to be lucky in your career that you play with players where you can learn a lot from. And yeah, for me, it was one of the big players was Ronald Janssen, the goalkeeper, and I think still one of the best ever in the world. Because he was not only a good goalkeeper, but he has a big knowledge about the game.
So your playing career brought you some good success at Den Bosch, some league titles.
Yeah, we had two titles, and never happened after that anymore. So really proud of that. So we had two titles of a Dutch champion, and one time. Champion against European champion for club teams, and we played against Polo of Spain, against the famous Polo Mat. Later I coached him with Spain, but on that moment I had to play against him, and he was phenomenal. And but yeah, we won there, so that was a big victory, and never happened again with the club.
Hey, Sean, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I was a right defender, and I really like to attack. I like to play give and go, and I was really irritated and frustrated the moment I only was allowed to defend. I still remember that my coach put me on left defender, and as left defender, it was more difficult to play the give and go hockey, and he asked me to stay more back. I was really irritated, and you could see it. My body language was really clear. So it was not difficult to coach me. And that was one also my big problem with tennis. I was a player who didn't control his mental side, and that's why I didn't make the top. And I knew I had to change that in hockey, and that's where they helped me. But still moments, you go back to your nature, and they really could see I was not happy.
Do you ever come across a player in your coaching where you're telling them that they have to defend more, and there's this little Sean standing on your shoulders reminding you?
Yeah, of course. I think a lot, almost every coach the way he also plays, what he likes. And my style is really give and go hockey. I like attacking hockey. It's good for the viewers, and it's also good for the motivation from the team. So the give and go is always one of my, big things, what I really like to do. And yeah, if you start talking about hockey and thinking about hockey, first thing what I'm doing is thinking in ball possession. My really good friend, Raoul Eere, coach of the women's Dutch, of the Den Bosch team, he's the opposite side. He will always think first about the non-ball possession part. So that's why I always search for coaches next to me who's thinking about non-ball possession. Yeah, you have to know yourself, eh? That's really important.
So when was your interest in coaching first sparked? When did you first get involved to coach?
Yeah, I started coaching youth when I was 15 years. I also did a school for sports education, and it always had my interest to help people, and that's why I'm still doing it. And I see my job as reaching the potential of players, of teams, and it can be inside teams, but I also do presentations for companies. That can also be for the business, for companies. But always go for the full potential. I was, what I said, 15 years old. So, and that's where it starts.
15.
You started coaching as a 15-year-old.
Yeah. And then wow. I grew and I started the men's team when I was 26. I stopped myself as player because I really had bad knees. And from that moment, I coached the second level men's team. A few of my friends were in that, so that was really interesting how a young guy coaches his friends. But I was really clear from the first moment, and yeah, you have to be clear because otherwise, the relationship gets really difficult.
Did you find that you set a clear pathway for yourself? You had an idea that international hockey was the way that you wanted to go with your coaching?
Yeah, I never played myself international hockey, and there was always a big frustration from me because I know I was not good enough. I was good for the top in Holland, but not good enough for the international level. And I always dreamed of playing for the Olympics, of coaching Olympics. Because I knew I never will play the Olympics. So that was a big dream. And it's not that I really had a path for myself, like the way, how do I come there? But I really believe on the best things will happen to you, but you have to work for it. And from one thing, the other thing came. So I did, it's called MOP. And then I went to another club in the second division, and that went really well. We promoted to the highest division. I had some Argentina players with Lucas Vila and his brother, and we did really well. And on that moment, Amsterdam, the big club in Holland, they asked me to coach them. And that was, of course, a big honor. And on that moment, all things started to go faster. Maurits Hendricks asked me for Spain. I assist him for 1 year and a half to the Olympics 2008, where we got silver with the Olympics. So I learned a lot of that.
Well, I mean, you've had quite a coaching journey, Sean, including a stint in China. And we're quite fascinated with what's going on in China at the moment. How did you find that experience?
That was really interesting because you can't play a talk with the players. That's the first thing. Everything has to be done with the translator. And of course, you don't know what the translator says. but the good thing is I always like to try to see the positive things about the cultures. And the positive thing is they are really humble and they listen to what you're saying. So for me, they played exactly the way I want them to play. So that was a really nice thing. If you coach a team in Holland, they want to be involved in the process and they also want to have a voice about how to play. That's also good, but the ownership in Holland is bigger than in China. In China, the coach decides. And yeah, I used that, so they really played like the way I wanted, and they eventually they were successful and they won the China Games, really important for them, and yeah, that was a nice thing to be in another culture.
Do you see China being able to be a really competitive team in the future?
China men are really far away. I think the China women now also made a step back, so that will be difficult for them. I don't know what's going to happen there because the Chinese coach has gone. And what will happen now if they go on with a Chinese coach or a foreign coach? Those things are really important for them because I think with foreign coaches they really can help them to make next steps.
Sean, you mentioned there about player-driven versus, you know, a style rather than the coach just dictating everything. And you made some comments in that transition between your position in the men's and women's coach about giving players ownership of what's going on the field. Is there a fine line between the players owning too much and the coach not having enough say?
Yeah, it also has to do with the difference in culture. I must say, like, I still believe in the ownership in a team, and wherever it is, it also can happen in China, but you need more time for it. I was there for 2 months. I did with the men from India. It worked pretty well, but you have to understand what players driven is. And I think 90% of the coaches in the world who coach teams, they all involve players. And that's all what I did. Involve the players, and it's the same process what I did with the women, and at the end we were successful with the World Cup and the Asian Games, so it worked, and it can also work with the men. But sometimes when things are not going well, you can do two things: just leave it and stop with it, or keep trying and try to make a new step. And what happened now, they changed coaches, and that can also be a good solution. I don't know. The future will say that, but for me, at the end, players have to learn to make their own choices, and whole players driven is focus on that. We as coaches, we are just standing on the sideline, and we can't do anything inside the pitch, and they have to make their own choices, and that's why the players driven is so important.
So just as whilst we're on India, it's obviously the track record of foreign coaches has been a little bit checkered over the years there. Is it a hard decision to make when the phone call comes to go into such a high profile hockey environment?
Yeah, I like the challenge, and for me the glass is always half full, and that's what I did with India when they called me. I needed a new challenge. I wanted to go away from Holland with the experience I had there. And I think this was a really good thing for me. And yeah, you know, as coach, wherever you coach, and maybe it's in India a little bit worse than somewhere else, but you always know when you don't perform, your job is on stake. It's how it is. I'm not busy with those kind of things. I'm really focusing on the process and on the things I have influence on. And that's also what I try to teach my players.
Sure, it's a unique situation to go from coaching a national men's team or a national women's team to a national men's team to back to national women. What interests me is the differences between genders. Is there that much of a difference at the elite level? Or is there a lot more that you have to consider from that perspective?
Yeah, the most important thing is the difference in discipline. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not finger pointing to the men because I don't like that. I also had a really nice time with them. But it's about this difference in discipline. If you see the woman from India, they do their own video analysis. They have their own meetings. After my meeting, they go sit together. All those kind of things are normal. They really are a unit. And especially the discipline is a big thing. With the men, that's a part, and it's not only in India. That's everywhere, most of the teams. That can be a problem. The discipline is always a little bit less. And I think that's a difference between women and men. I think, like, if you see Australia, man, for me, the reason they are always on the, still on the number one spot of the world, is the discipline they have and the culture they all have for so many years and how they guarding that. And that's the difference, because if you see the quality of the Indian men, I really think they can be top three of the world. But if they can add the discipline from the, for instance, Australian men, yeah, they would raise their level so much. And that's why I also asked Chris Cirello for me as assistant to bring that culture inside the Indian men team. And I think with the women, we are really far with that. We can play five different pressing systems. And for Indian standards, that's a lot, especially because not all the women can understand me.
That's really interesting, Sean. I agree with you on the men. I think there's some fantastic players in India, but that discipline the Australians show, and it wins them so many games.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's about the men. If the Indian men are consistent, they are the top of the world. But yeah, that's the next step they have to make.
What we don't hear a lot about from India is club hockey. There's obviously lots of different ways that people play the game, but club hockey does seem to be lacking. What's your take on grassroots hockey in India?
The thing is they are playing with for their companies, so there's almost no club hockey. And the companies, the big thing, they ask foreign coaches for the knowledge, and Indian coaches want to stick with their own plan, how they are used to play. And if they don't change, it's difficult to come closer to the international level.
Okay. Yes. Oh, look, Sean, recently, following the Asia Cup, there was a lot in the Indian media about the failure of the men's team. Oh, sorry, the Asia Games. But there was a lot also about the success of the women's side of the game. There's so much interest in what goes on there. How do you sort of separate yourself from the hype and all that sort of stuff and concentrate on the job that's actually at hand?
For me, the most important thing about the Asian Games was the happiness for the women. So I was not busy with the men, because I also have to focus on my job. And if I'm busy with the men, if they win, winning or losing, I'm not focused myself. So I really left that aside from me. I was just so happy for the women, because now they are rewarded really, really good with money, and they can help their families. And I know their personal stories, and some of them can't watch the television because there's not always electricity. They have not always food, and now they can help. And the joy from that was for me the most important thing for me in the Asian Games.
Are you seeing a rise in the interest in women's hockey in India? I mean, for a long time it was almost forgotten about, but you know, their recent success and the media coverage seems to be that women's hockey is starting to get a real foothold in the country.
No, absolutely. If you see the Prime Minister, they were on the picture with him, they were invited, also the men, but yeah, this has never happened to them. They are invited to all kind of functions. People are on social media. You see more and more about what a woman achieves. So that's really nice. And for us, it was not about becoming first of Asia. That was also a goal. But the big goal was to put the woman on a good position in India. That's what the girls really, really wanted. And that was the dream goal of the team. And if you do that, if you achieve that, you know you have medals.
Sure. Taking a broader perspective and look at the game, is there something that you would change if you had the power to, that's going on in world hockey? Be it fixturing or a rule or whatever it might happen to be?
Yeah. I think a lot of the rules are now interpretation. And that's really difficult for referees and for us as coaches also. It's, for me, difficult to coach my girls what is allowed or not allowed, what is dangerous, what is not dangerous. It's changing every time. And the more interpretation, the more it's unclear. So that would be a thing. I wouldn't mind to go from 11 against 11 after three quarters you go, or maybe two quarters you go to 10-10 or 9-9. The pitch is getting bigger. Those kind of things would make the game better. And not 10 players over the midline. I think those things can help.
What's next for India then? Obviously, for your side, there's no pro league involvement. So what are you looking forward to next?
We're starting the camp from the 1st of October. And yeah, we now have to talk about the program, what will happen, what we're going to do. We have to make the group bigger than it's now, because we have a small group, and that's one of the things. I think we lost the final. We played the whole. We played so many matches this year. Japan was able to switch with 40 girls. We only had 18 till 20 girls. So that was a big difference, and we have to make the group bigger for the next 2 years.
And are you running a centralized program with them?
Yeah, always in Bangalore. So we have 48 girls, and we have two groups of 24 with the development coach also.
Now, you're back home at the moment in the Netherlands. You do have some business interest as a co-owner of hockeysupport.nl. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, what we're doing is we have hockey schools, hockey camps, and we work with good coaches. So the big problem in Holland, and I know this will surprise you, but it's about the quality of the training sessions for youth. And it's a big problem, because the quality goes more down and down, lower and lower. And so we have every Sunday morning, we have hockey schools. It doesn't matter which club you're playing. We're independable. And you get training from good coaches, like Jeroen Delmay. He's also one of the trainers. And that's the same what we're doing with the hockey camps, and the same what we want to do with of what we're doing with hockey tours. We want to have teams from other or schools or clubs from other countries bring to our club, and just to see how we to participate in trainings from us, but also experience training from Maartje Palmer, the drag training, or Austin Smith, just to work with high quality trainers. And that's what we're doing in Holland. And the nice thing is reaching your potential. That's what we're doing also with children, and the smile of a child who's improving her forehand hit. That's amazing, and that's nice, and that reminds you every time why you're doing this job.
And where can people find out about that? Is there a website they can go to? Is it hockeysupport.nl?
Yes, yeah. That's where it is. And the sites on the tours will, I think, will be tomorrow live. And then hopefully they all can come to Holland and experience how club hockey in Holland has been done.
Do you need a championship-winning over-50s team to come and visit you there?
Yeah, of course. You're more than welcome. We have enough teams to compete.
Excellent. Look, Sean, we'll let you go in a minute, because I know you're out shopping with your family today, so we won't keep you too long. One more from me. Yeah. I'm on a personal crusade to bring back the bully. Would you support something like that?
Yeah, all things what was in hockey, we must not forget that. So the bully was a nice thing. So you still want to do the three times?
Yeah, and only have to at the beginning of each half, say. I'm not saying we have to do it after every goal. I think it would be a nice thing for the game to bring back.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but it's a good thing. I will support you.
Hockey 1, hockey 2, hockey 3.
Look, already have three.
Thank you very much for your time today, Sean. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. And we wish you and the India Eves all the best of success in the future. I think it's one of the best nicknames for a team too, the Eves.
Yeah. And we call ourselves the Tigers.
Ah. Do you?
Right, well, we might start doing that ourselves.
Oh, well, the Tigers. Now we'll just scratch out Eves and write down Tigers. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Look, thanks again, Sean, and we'll hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you for having me, and have a nice day.
Cheers, Sean.